In this session, I'll be talking about authority, both how we exercise authority and how we experience it, and how certain institutions are set up to give us certain qualities of authority. Nonviolent communication suggests that we get certain things clear when we're in a position of authority or when we're dealing with people in positions of authority. Some very important differentiations. One of these is the difference between respect for authority and fear of authority. Getting these mixed up creates a great deal of pain for people. As I would use these terms, respect for authority involves three ingredients. When we're in a position of authority, we get respect for our authority when, one, we know some things or can do some things that the people we're working with or living with do not have. Second, these people see these things that we know or can do. They see them as valuable. They see how these things will enrich their lives. And third, they see us as offering these things which we know that are valuable. We offer, we don't impose them. So respect for authority, as I use the term, is manifest when we know things that people don't know or can do things that they don't know how to do. And they see that these things are very valuable. And they see that these things are being offered to them and not imposed upon them. Then they would have what I call respect for our authority. Now, fear of authority is quite a different thing. That is usually built into the structure of either the family, the school, the business, the government. This structure gives us the right to impose things on people that we can reward or punish to get people to do what we want. So respect for our authority needs to be earned. We need to clearly communicate with people so they can see the value of what we're offering. Another important difference in authority is to know the difference between obedience and willing cooperation. Obedience is maintained when people submit because we have the power to either reward or punish. But willing cooperation only can be received when people feel free from this kind of coercion and they trust that their needs as human beings are valued. When they feel that, then they are open to whatever authority we have that might be valuable. I was in the airport once in Dallas, Texas, waiting for a plane, and I saw a woman sitting with her 3-year-old child, and he was sitting very quietly right next to her for quite a while. A grandmother-age woman, seeing how the child just sat there and didn't move, said to the mother, "I have never seen such a well-behaved young man before. He just sits there." And the mother had on her lap a ping-pong paddle and a box of crackers. And she said, "I've learned that to get children to do what we would like them to do, you have to have a cracker and a smacker." So this mother was very clear, saying that she was using the kind of authority that I would call fear of authority. She was trying to control through rewards and punishment. If that's what we want when we are in the position of authority, probably the best way we could get training to do that would be to go to a dog obedience school and see how they train dogs. But working with human beings when we're in positions of authority, We want people to do things because they choose to do it, because they see how it will enrich their lives and the lives of others to do it. But that requires a radically different exercise of authority than many of us know how to do. For example, in the family, people often believe that because they are the parent, that it gives them the right to impose their learning on their children. It's their job to make them behave. They haven't learned the lesson that my children taught me, that you can't make anybody do anything. All you can do is make them wish they had. And whenever we do that, they'll make us wish we hadn't made them wish they had. To use punishment and reward to get people to do things is very costly for the organization and for the relationships of people within the organization.